It's not late night with the boys without Craig.
That's right.
All right. Hey.
TH Fantasy After Hours.
We are after hours. We are with the custodial crew here late, burning the midnight oil, trying to get to this episode before Sunday. Tony, this is Ryan. Craig's here. It's good to see you.
Trying to get this episode in before sun up.
Yeah, no shit, right? So let's not stand on ceremony here, then. Let's just nail out our 54s. Ryan, you want to go first?
Sure.
Love it.
This week, my number 54 is someone who actually I thought you might end up doing because he's a former wrestler.
He is.
I can't believe when I was looking through a list of like all that, there was a decent amount of 54s to pick from, and I actually had a couple that I had decided on like Tuesday, and then like Wednesday I started looking at like deeper guys and I was like, wait, this guy was a former wrestler?
Hell okay. Yeah.
So my number 54 is Mr. Edward Daniels, aka Wahoo McDaniels.
AKA Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Yes. I don't know how many Native Americans have ever played football, but this guy is one of them.
Yeah.
He's like Chickasaw or Choctaw or something like that. I can't remember which tribe. But he's born in 1938. Not too tall of a guy. He was only 6'2", but he was 265 pounds.
Beast.
Huge beast. He started playing football in high school, where he played like every position.
Yeah, when you're that big, fuck yeah.
Right. Yeah, and he, not too much to talk about in high school, but he was a Sooner. His family was like, I think he was born in Texas or Louisiana. His family was like in the oil family.
Okay.
And so he ended up getting drafted by Oklahoma, someone in the region, where, get this, even though he was like notoriously a guard and a tackle, he actually holds the Oklahoma Sooner record for the longest punt ever, still to this day.
Cool. At
91 yards.
What?
Yeah. So he excelled at Oklahoma, and the Houston Oilers took note of that, and they drafted him in 1960. And that year, I want to say it was the inaugural year of the Oilers, too. Like, they won the AFL championship with his help.
Fuck yeah.
But he was only there for 1 year, and then he went to play with the Broncos from 61 to 63. Then after that, he played with the Jets, and he retired as a Dolphin.
Oh.
But that same year he was drafted by the Oilers, he was actually, I don't know how it came about, but he started wrestling with someone famous from the Texas area.
Yeah.
And Tony could maybe add more about his wrestling career, because I don't know too much about it, but he's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, no doubt.
It seemed from what I was reading, I didn't know a lot of the guys that were talking about. I'm sure Tony does, but he had like a lot of like feuds and was really popular, I guess.
Yeah, he's an icon, man. He really is.
So he wrestled, not only did he play for like 7 or 8 years in the NFL, but while he was doing that, he was also professionally wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then did that after he retired from football until like the 90s, when he was, you know, so he was born in 38, so he was wrestling into his 50s.
Oh, sure.
Len Dawson, famous NFL player, was said to never get hit by anyone harder than Wahoo McDaniels.
Okay.
he's wrestled in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff. There's just too much to talk about his wrestling stuff, and
right. Well, the
for cool me to write is, down, I'm sure you know a lot about it.
Well, the cool thing that I'm reading, so like for those of you that aren't wrestling fans, Ryan included, before, the reason why WWF was so big is because Vince McMahon bought all the territories. You know, it used to all just be regional. And
yeah, I remember when I was reading about him, they were like, he was out of the NWA, like Amarillo chapter or whatever. Yep.
And so he was clearly such a good wrestler that I'm looking at his stuff, and everywhere he went, every football place he went, he started with a different organization. Right. So like he would go from one region to another. He started with the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, the precursor to the WWF, when he got traded to the Jets.
Okay.
So he worked for everyone. And I do have a fun fact. Just this is something that I know about Wahoo McDaniel. They, over time, WWF especially has had a lot of like indigenous people characters, and they're usually not played by actual indigenous people, but Chief Wahoo McDaniel was a legitimate indigenous person that was playing a tribal chief, which I always thought was super fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was cool. They were like saying there was one of his rivals who was another Native American draw, but he was actually like Italian.
Yep. Yeah, Chief J. Strongbow, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. But
seemed like he lived a stellar career in the NFL and as a wrestler. Unfortunately, he died in like 2002, like kidney failure and general old age and beating up your body and stuff like that.
Yeah, no shit.
No, nothing like CTE like the last guy I talked like last week. He didn't go like crazy or anything. His body just basically broke down physically.
Yeah, which wrestling, like, can you imagine two careers that are harder on your fucking body than wrestling
and football? Yeah, so that's Mr. Wahoo McDaniel.
That's fucking awesome. All right, so I got one for you. Ready? It's less about a guy more than it is about a defense. And so my 54 is a dude whose name is Fulton Kuykendall. All right?
Okay.
So he was born in 53, played college ball at UCLA. He was drafted in the sixth round of the 1975 NFL draft. And that sounds pretty late, but since the league was so small back then, he was still only like the 130th pick.
Sure.
He looked like a classic 80s dad because he had like a curly-haired semi-mullet and a giant mustache.
Hell yeah.
He ends up playing as a starting inside linebacker for 10 years, the first nine of which were on the Atlanta Falcons. I looked up a bunch of his stats, and even like Pro Football Reference doesn't have his tackles numbers. And, you know, he started in 1975 and played until like the end of the 84 season, and sacks didn't start until 1982, so there isn't much for that either. He recovered 9 fumbles in his career, he had 3 interceptions, and scored his only career touchdown to put the Falcons ahead for good against Green Bay in 1981.
Damn.
So his nickname, this is like the worst nickname ever. It's so bad it's almost cool. Captain Crazy.
Captain Crazy.
Captain Crazy.
Why? Did he put like Alka-Seltzer in his mouth to look like he was foaming at the mouth when he was staring at the quarterback?
I think like the physical version of that, because he was known for like throwing his body at dudes like crazy, just recklessly knocking out blockers, knocking out ball carriers, all that kind of stuff.
I like it.
So there's a couple more things I want to bring about, because that's pretty much it for his playing career. He was an unnamed extra, but he's got an IMDb page. Because he was in the background in a made-for-TV movie called For Ladies Only, about a struggling male actor who turns to stripping when he can't find work acting.
Damn.
All right. Really, though, I picked Fulton Kuykendall as my 54 because he was part of the 1977 Atlanta Falcons defense. All right?
Okay.
So when we think of famous defensive like nicknames, I think about like the Monsters of the Midway, right?
Yeah.
The purple People Eaters, the Orange Crush, the Steel Curtain. But
yeah,
I had never heard about this defense, but they had a name. All right. The Atlanta Falcons 1977 defense was called the Grits Blitz.
The Grits Blitz?
Yeah. And instead of spelling it G-R-I-T-S, it's G-R-I-T-Z. The Grits Blitz.
Okay.
All right. So this was a defense that was schemed up by a young secondary coach by the name of Jerry Glanville, who you may have heard of. He became a coach for Atlanta. He was Deion Sanders' first coach in Atlanta. Before that, he coached the Oilers.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, big cowboy hat. So the idea behind this defense was blitz as many dudes as possible all the time.
Nice.
From every angle, every position, and they fucked shit up. So listen to this shit, because I had no idea about this. They played 14 games that year. It was a 14-game season. They allowed 129 points.
All right. 14 games? That, yeah. Holy crap.
It's an average of 9.2 points per game, which is the best of all time.
That's ridiculous.
Hang on. They forced more turnovers per game than both the 2000 Ravens and the 85 Bears. They forced 3.47 turnovers per game.
3.7?
3.47.
Oh, my God.
They allowed 9 passing touchdowns, but they had 26 interceptions and recovered 22 fumbles.
Holy crap.
They held Walter Payton to 64 yards on like 20 carries, and they shut down the O.J. Simpson-led Bills to 3 points in that season.
3 points?
Yeah.
On that famous team? Holy shit.
So there was only one Hall of Famer on that defense. He was a lineman named Claude Humphrey, and he said, quote, "We didn't give a fuck what formation the offense came out in. We were going at it. We sent more people than they could block." End quote.
Hell yeah.
Weirdly, though, they only had 2 Pro Bowlers, right? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, how does that work?
Future Hall of Famer Claude Humphrey was a Pro Bowler, and a DB named Roland Lawrence. So I was looking, and I'm like, why don't we know more about the Grits Blitz today? Well, I can tell you. The Falcons ended the season 7-7 because their offense was so bad. So fucking bad. I read this. The wife of one of the players said fans were cheering for the defense to get onto the field because they were more likely to score than the offense was.
Nice.
So, in 14 games, they scored 17 total touchdowns.
Nice.
And they had a total of 179 points. So I watched a video. It's
basically like 11 points a game.
Right. So I watched a Dorktown video on them, and that offense was fucking terrible. So the fact that they couldn't make the playoffs is the reason why we don't know about this, like this all-time great defense.
Yeah.
The Grits Blitz.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
So that is Fulton Kuykendall and the 1977 Atlanta Falcons Grits Blitz defense.
Nice. Like it. Yeah, very good.
So we're, as After Hours, we had a segment that we're going to skip over, but I did want to point something out, Ryan, real quick. Before we go into our bits of the week, I wanted to tell you, I have something fun that I wanted to tell you. I have a list. All right. I have a list of the teams in the NFL this year that do not have a first round pick in the next draft.
How many?
There are 5 of them.
For real?
Yes, well, and I'll tell you their records.
Well, we know that, let's see, Frisco traded away. Frisco just traded away that, right?
No, they traded that. Well, they don't have one because they traded it as part of the Trey Lance deal.
Oh, yeah.
So San Francisco is 1. Keep going. They're 3-3.
San Francisco. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
All right. The Rams and the 49ers are both 3-3. The Browns are 2-4. The Broncos are 2-4. And the Saints are 2-5.
Damn. That sucks.
Yeah, so everyone that went all in this year by trading their first round pick is absolutely dog shit. So
right.
All the teams that got their picks, Houston, Seattle, Detroit, like those teams are going to cash the fuck in, man.
Yeah.
So all right, so let's move on. Ryan, you know what's crazy is last week when we did your bit, you picked 3 guys, and I was like, geez, Ryan, you got the fucking audacity over here to pick 3 guys. Who out of the 3 scored last week?
Yeah, it was pretty good, right?
Bellinger, and it was Jelani Woods scored too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan called it Jelani Woods week.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got another couple guys, or maybe a few guys this week that potentially score more touchdowns for my
mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Boo, 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 boo. Horns omitted.
horns omitted.
so we're obviously, we're riding the train. We're riding the crazy train. We're going with Bellinger again. He's going to be my play like every week until he's, you know, 7,000 up there with the good tight ends. But right now, he's still mid-tier kind of shitty, 5,100.
That's true.
So he's going to be my, you know, always, every day.
Right, like we don't even need to say him. He's just the guy.
Right. But we're going to look at Dallas this week.
Oh. All
right? We're going to look at Dallas this week. I know everyone's going to be like, fuck you, Ryan. Dalton Schultz is coming back. Yes. So what? Guess who's catching a touchdown this week? Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to go Peyton Hendershot here, but you're going James Ferguson.
I know. Hendershot, even though he had 5 targets last week, but Ferguson's the better talent, and he's going to be out on the – I think Hendershot's going to have less play call now because Schultz is back. But you watch, Ferguson's going to catch a touchdown this week.
Ryan, how much Big Ten football did you watch today?
Honestly, I actually watched a lot because I was waiting for you to get back and stuff like that. I'm actually watching like the Montana versus – or Wyoming versus Utah State game right now. And I started watching the Iowa game earlier, but that became a blowout. It looked pretty good. Iowa got that defensive touchdown right off the bat, but
– I ask because, of course, you had to go with the Badger – tight end, like you went Big Ten.
Yeah,
like I can feel the 6-3 yep. final score pulsing through your veins.
Another two guys,
yeah,
maybe likely to get a touchdown this week.
Ooh,
Mr. Isaiah Likely.
I like it. I likely it.
Andrews says he's good. You know he's going to get some passes, but you never know, Mr. Isaiah Likely. He's got to Andrews got to throw the torch over sometime.
I like that.
Also. One last guy
yeah.
for almost a guaranteed touchdown this week, since Cameron Brate's no longer there, Mr. Cade Otton.
3 rookie tight ends this week, Ryan.
Yes.
3 rookie tight ends. Wow.
All under 5,000 on DFS. Take your pick. Save some money and pay up at other positions.
So Jake Ferguson, Isaiah Likely, and...
Cade Otton.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Ryan. I love it. I watched all these guys in college. They're all capable red zone threats.
Yeah, and they're all getting more involved in the pass game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fucking sick. All right, so I got to beat you because my play last week did not hit. It was not a good play.
Kadarius
did not do anything.
No. What is the Agnew line this week? What price is it?
The Agnew line is, once again, 5,100.
Okay.
So I was thinking, like, I'm looking through the lineups. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a fucking freebie, man. Donta Foreman, 4,900. Like, he's a starting running back. He's cheap. And then I looked at Tampa Bay's rush defense.
Yeah, I know.
Tampa Bay's rush defense is the only fantasy defense that has not given up 100 combined fantasy points yet to opposing running backs.
Right.
So
I think I threw you off a little bit earlier because I remember you when we were doing the DFS show, you're like, let's throw him in. I'm like, not at all. Not against Tampa Bay's rush defense.
Right. So yeah. I wanted to just say Foreman and move on with my day, but no. We deserve the best. So,
right.
So I also thought about Hayden Hurst at 4,900, but if I brought a tight end into this, I do believe it's copyright infringement. So,
TM.
Yeah, so I found us a running back that's priced at 4,800 that I think can provide you with about 10 points if things break the right way.
A running back at 4,800? Uh-oh.
A running back, Ryan, by the name of DJ Dallas.
Ooh, right. Tell me your thoughts why DJ Dallas.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, Tony, Kenneth Walker ran more routes than DJ Dallas last week. And you know what, Ryan? You'd be right. But all right. Dallas ran more routes than Kenneth Walker on 3rd and 6 and greater.
Oh.
And when Seattle was in their 2-minute offense, DJ Dallas ran 100% of the routes.
Shit. For real.
The Chargers are going to score a lot this week. And I think Seattle's going to play behind in the second half. And that's where Dallas should get his looks. So,
yeah, Chargers, that's a good game strip. Yeah.
The Chargers give up the second most fantasy points to running backs, the fifth most catches to running backs, and are one of only three teams this season that have already given up three receiving touchdowns to running backs this year.
Awesome.
So my prediction, DJ Dallas, 2 carries, 15 yards, 3 catches, 30 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Dude, that's like 15 points right there. 4,800? Hell yeah.
That's like, if when we were doing the DFS stuff earlier and when we were doing our prep, I don't know if you noticed this too, but like it's a top heavy week, man. It's a real top heavy
week.
Yeah. So DJ Dallas is a guy that in a pinch, I'm not against using.
Yeah, he's one of those players that's not going to be heavily identified.
No.
And very, very not owned at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I would be shocked if he was over 1% owned in tournaments.
I agree, because why the fuck would you? And if he scores, think about, like, you just rake it in, really.
Right.
All right, so last week, our Superflex lineup, 36th out of 476. We cashed 15 bucks.
It did so good. It cashed so good that, like, I texted Tony in the middle of the week, and he didn't even know. That's how good it was.
Right.
He was like, that was our other show. I'm like, I don't think so. I thought it was ours. But yeah, so do we want to do another $5 single entry, or do you want to do that $2 $1,200 person?
No, tournament? I want to do $5 single entry, Ryan. We've earned it.
Okay. Want to do the one of 357?
Yep. So you do a quarterback and wide receiver, and I'll do a quarterback and wide
receiver. All right, let's see here. Well, I mean, the game script with Burrow is so good. I know we already have one in the other show, but yeah, we should definitely do Burrow.
Yeah. Now, the last one we had, we paired Burrow with Lamar, but do you want to do Burrow and Chase? Do you want to do Burrow and Higgins?
That's up to you. Or I mean, the quarterback's up to you. I want to see. Let's see who you pick first, and then we'll pick the pairs after you pick quarterback.
Okay. I think the quarterback that I want to go with this week is going to be Tua.
Okay. Yes. Oh, that's a great stack.
So, do you want to do
Herein lies the problem. I'd rather do Tua and Tyreek. But can we afford Tua, Tyreek, Burrow, and Chase? You know what I'm saying?
That would leave us at 6,400 per open position, which means if we put in one of your shitty tight ends, we can save a ton of money.
Yeah, that's true. Hold on. My super flexes are loading real slow. There we go.
Ryan, is it Daniel Bellinger once again? Do we roll with the Bellinger?
I mean, I think so. I think we have to, right?
At 5,100, I think it's just such a good price.
Right.
So that leaves us at 6,833 left to go. Ryan, who do you like at running back this week? We both like Jacobs, I know.
Right. Well, can we afford Jacobs?
We can, but we'd have to make some cuts elsewhere. What do you think about Kenny Walker?
Yeah, he's in the mid-sixes, right?
Kenny Walker's 73. But that leaves us 6,600.
Oh, that's right. He's 66 in main tournament. I forgot. This is super flex. Let me see who else we got.
I'm not against Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not against Tony Pollard. I'm not against Travis Etienne at 6,200.
You know what? This feels like an Elliott week. Let's do Elliott.
Let's go. 6,900. That leaves us 68 for two left.
What if we Ooh. We had no shares of Jamal Williams earlier, but he's kind of expensive.
He's the same price as Swift, and I'd much rather have Swift.
What about Pierce?
I don't like Pierce's matchup this week that much, if I'm being totally honest with you.
All right, so the most you'd want to pay up for is like Walker.
I would want to, if we're paying up, I want either Eckler or Jacobs. But Walker is the one step below.
Right, against the Chargers D.
Right.
Let's do Walker and then see what is left at our flex. 6,300
for a flex. We've got Melvin Gordon. We can do the Brandon Cooks thing like we talked about. We can go Jeff Wilson, Gerald Everett, Brandon Ayuk, Terry McLaurin. ETN's at 62.
Yeah, Giants are shitty against the rush.
And I think if you look at ETN's numbers each week,
they're climbing.
The problem is that he's not scoring. He's the last 2 weeks he's gotten like 11.8 and 12.9 FanDuel points without getting into the end zone. So if he gets into the end zone, he's a 20-point player.
All right, so then I guess it's between Cooks and ETN.
I want ETN.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so we just super flexed. We got Burrow, Zeke, Kenny Walker III, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, Daniel Bellinger, Travis Etienne, Tua. Dude, this is like the best lineup.
This is freaking awesome.
All right, so you heard it here first, y'all. I'm submitting this shit. This is the real deal. Wow. Yeah, feeling good, Ryan. That was we after dark the fuck out of this shit.
Hell yeah.
So then next week we'll do our 55s. We'll re-answer the question that was supposed to be answered this week, which is what have we learned so far?
Sure.
In fantasy football.
yeah.
And so then since we're gonna get out of here pretty early, can you give me a hot take for this week before we go?
Let's see. Hot take for this week. I mean, this will be the secondary hot take because it's my millionaire bet for the show. But Bellinger's over at rush yards, 25 and a half. If I get that, I cash in. Receiving yards. I had to parlay, or I had to put down $125 because I keep my bet from last week that I won. So at minus 114 is like 234 or something. I've written down somewhere. But anyway, that's my secondary. And hot take for this week. Detroit Lions win.
Beautiful. I got two for you. Tyquan Thornton of the Patriots scores a touchdown. And the number one receiver of the week is Michael Pittman.
Oh, shit. I like that one.
There it is. All right. For Ryan, I am Tony, and for Craig, that is Ryan. And
oh yeah, for Tony, I'm Ryan.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week. Good luck to all your teams, and I hope you cash as hard as we did last week.
Thanks for tuning in to THC After Dark.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.